Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Jalen, what happened to your Michigan Wolverines against the Bulldogs?
What happened was, why are you bringing up old stuff? You know what I mean? I'm still proud of my guys. We beat Ohio State this year, Big Ten champs. But I'm really happy for my daughter, Mariah, who got straight A's, is a senior at Georgia. Go, dog.
Straight A's. Let's start the show. He is Jalen Rose. I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We get a people. They
want. You know, I had to come to Tampa because all of the drama in the NFL surrounds the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yesterday, there was drama on the field at the end of the game. And again, it was Tom Brady with the ball in his hands, under a minute left. What does he do but march the Bucs all the way down the field for the game-winning score? However, that's not what we're talking about today, Jalen Rose. We're talking about all the drama off the field. Of course, we've seen what happened with Antonio Brown. We've seen the tweets. We've seen the videos. We've seen all the reactions. This is why I love doing this show with you, Mr. Rose. You've taken all this in, synthesized it. What do you think about the Antonio Brown situation?
So, as you said, like, we should really be talking about how, like, Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers at this point of their careers on the collision course to see who's going to win MVP. But instead, we're going to talk about the Antonio Brown meltdown and saga. And there are a few things I want to say about AB. So I follow him for a long time, Jacoby. He went to Central Michigan. He was a sixth-round pick. And as an underdog, he made himself into a Hall of Fame caliber player. But one of the things I saw change with him, and this is why I encourage young people to play sports, because it teaches you the life lessons, how to deal with success, how to deal with failure, how to sacrifice for a team. And one of the things that happened throughout his career to me that I saw really change him, the internet. Even when he was in the vehicle yesterday, the first thing the driver said on the video was about going viral. Now, just think about it. We were winning a playoff game or whatever game in Pittsburgh. Mike Tomlin's telling the team, hey, stay off social media, while he was going Facebook or whatever live in the locker room. And then I think about what happened with the Raiders and the Patriots. Social media again. And then after he quits on his team, and I'll get back to that word, yes, that's what that's called, quitting. When you leave the arena, to be standing outside like randomly trying to scoop up an Uber, that just like, that ain't necessarily how a boss supposed to move. And then the other thing I want to point out is, you now use that moment to put out a single. Like seriously, like to put out a song. And so to me, and you know this song, Sauce Money and Jay-Z, I got it tatted on me because it means so much to me. The song goes, I'm what the game made me, not what the fame made me. And what I've seen happen here to me is a gentleman is clearly dealing with some emotional and some psychological issues. I've seen him perform terrifically on the football field, but you could just Google his rap sheet. He's been in some bizarre scenarios off the field, allegedly throwing things off of balconies and just time and time again, just multiple insubordinate acts that he's done over his career. So I do hope that he gets the support that he clearly desires, because that's where I go meltdown, because that's what that was. But here's where I go quit. That means so many people stood on the table for you. Like, so many people don't realize how you riding for them until you park. And I seen Tom Brady riding for him with the Patriots. And I seen him help him get a bonus last year where they basically was throwing them passes at the line of scrimmage almost so they could get him paid. So let me get this right. He needed 8 catches. He needed 55 yards. And he needed 1 TD to collect one total $1 million of salary. And that meltdown happened in place of that. And so the way it was handled, there are going to be people that laugh at it. There are going to be people that feel sorry for him. I've seen coaches get texts. We've seen people get ejected. Houston Rockets players, allegedly Kevin Porter, got into an argument with John Lucas and left during the game. Like, we see athletes get upset. Like, I've gotten ejected and thrown my jersey in the stands. Like, that has happened. But what makes this different is how definitive it was. It was a goodbye to the NFL by Antonio Brown. He won't be playing in that league anymore. As a matter of fact, if it wasn't for Tom Brady standing on the table for him, he wouldn't be playing in the NFL this season. And so it was very bizarre to see. And it was really unfortunate that, as you acknowledged, that now became the main topic of an NFL Sunday, his meltdown and him quitting on his team during a football game.
Well, there's a lot there. And just to wrap this up, I want to start where you started, which is when he was in that car. We've all seen the video. It wasn't an Uber driver. It was a personal driver that came to pick him up. But when he's in the car, he's looking at his phone. He's in the back seat looking at his phone. And you have to wonder, he's not texting with people. He's looking at the reaction on social media of his own behavior from just moments before, which is why I think that where you started was something that I wanted to bring up too, which is the influence of the internet on his psyche. And as you mentioned, he probably has some emotional and perhaps mental health issues that we hope that he gets the support he needs. But we have to move on because we got some other breaking news. Yes, I am here in Tampa. One thing I do want to say is the vibe in Tampa isn't as much about Antonio Brown as it's about Tom Brady and the comeback and the win. People are not so concerned about what Antonio Brown did and didn't do. They're concerned about the win. But we have some new breaking news. That is that Kyrie Irving will make his season debut with the Brooklyn Nets on Wednesday against the Pacers. Jalen, I didn't expect to happen like this, but a lot of things led to this. What impact do you think Kyrie will have on this team on the road and their potential in the playoffs?
You already know, family. I told you on and off wax. The profound impact that Kyrie's return is going to have is going to be not just on his individual performance, because he's a dynamic scorer, an NBA champion, a clutch shot maker, and has a left hand that needs its own league pass channel. It's going to take pressure off Kevin Durant, who so many times is caught in isolation situations, in particular late in the shot clock and late in the game. Now, he's so very dynamic that he's going to bail you out most of the time. But he's playing high minutes with high usage, and that's something that Steve Nash clearly doesn't want to continue. But the main impact, as I've told you, and you can go back and Google the day that the Nets said that they are going to bring back Kyrie Irving. And look at James Harden's stats since then. I try to tell you, that's going to be the impact. He sabotaged his situation in Houston to go to the Nets to be a part of a big three, not play with one of them, not play with two of them. And I'm sure, like I said, when Kyrie and the team decided to bring him back, that was going to rejuvenate Harden to the point where he's now playing like a dominant performer. So that big three, to me, goes from being one that's looking up at the Bulls. Shout to DeMar DeRozan, who's continued to ball and be crazy this year. And obviously rub elbows with the reigning champion Bucks. And don't overlook the Miami Heat in this conversation. But Kyrie's return makes the Nets my favorite to win it all this year.
Oh, to win it all this year. You heard it first on Jalen and Jacoby. Kyrie Irving edition, not just giving the Nets to win the Eastern Conference, but it'll be interesting to see how they balance him being available on the road, not available at home, practice, travel. We will see with that. But we have to get back to the NFL because the biggest game on paper ended up being an impressive game on the field. That was between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Cincinnati Bengals. You and I both believe the Chiefs to be head and shoulders above all the other teams in the AFC. The Bengals and Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase said, not so fast. Does this game, this result, make you reconsider your rankings in the AFC?
It does not. And you know I like to term things by good win or bad loss, but this is a terrific win by the Bengals.
Yep.
A team that now sees itself beating the Pittsburgh Steelers during the season and sweeping them. And then now playing against the Kansas City Chiefs, as you mentioned, who look like the pole position team in that conference, to beat them the way they did. And you brought up Joe Burrow and my guy Chase, our guy. Everybody who hasn't paid attention to the beginning of the season, welcome to the bandwagon. Because David Jacoby and I have been betting on this duo all season. And let me tell y'all what I've been betting on. 79 catches, 1,429 yards, and 13 TDs. He's been out there gritty, grimy, and balling this year. And it ain't just him. Mixon, Higgins, Boyd. Like, Joe Burrow has been Joe Cool. And you know how much we like to see Namath in the fur coat on the sideline back in the day and guaranteeing championships. And so when we have a quarterback that seems like he could be focused on under center, but yet still get it in, we love that so very much.
Ever since Burrow's LSU season and he broke out the cigar to the championship game, I love the cigar look. I love the dancing in the locker room. I love all of that. But one thing I don't love about the Bengals and why I can't put them above the Chiefs is great win against the Chiefs. But I saw you lost to the New York Jets. And I saw you lost to the Chicago Bears and the Cleveland Browns. So the team that beat the Chiefs is also the team that lost to those bottom feeders. Jalen, Anthony Rose, we have so much more to get to. A lot of news, not just coming from out of here in Tampa, but all over the NFL and the NBA. And we'll be back right after this to break it
up. We're not done. We are not done.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Usually live above the Heineken River deck in the Seaport, but right now I'm in Tampa. Jalen Rose is in studio, and we have a lot more NFL to cover. Jalen, we love the Cardinals here, Jalen Jacoby, but I didn't love the Cardinals the last few weeks, but I love the Cardinals against the Cowboys. It was the Kyler Murray show doing it with his arm and his legs against that Cowboys defense. What do you think of Kyler?
You know, not only should you not bet against my guy, Kyler Murray, in particular, when he's playing in Dallas in that stadium, whether it's high school or the league, since then he's been that very dominant. It seems like when he knows he's going to play there, he puts on an extra show. And that's what he did. And by the way, one of the stats that really stood out to me yesterday is that while Diggs leads the league in interceptions, he also's given up over 1,000 yards of interceptions. That was really surprising to me. But Kyler, again, was terrific. You got to also give the Cardinals credit for keeping Micah Parsons quiet pretty much that game.
Yep.
And if you look at the stats, Dak played terrific. I believe 3 TDs, no INTs. They still can't really run the ball effectively.
Can't run the ball.
This is a great win by the Cards.
See, for me, is with all the offensive weapons that the Cowboys have, the stars that they have in the backfield, the stars that they have in wide receiver, they need to be able to run the ball better than this. You've got Ezekiel Elliott, you've got Pollard. You need to have Ezekiel Elliott more than 16 yards, Jalen. This is the second least yards he's had from scrimmage running the ball in his entire career. You have to figure out a way to get him going in order for this Cowboys team to be successful. If they can't run the ball, can they do anything, Mr. Rose?
No, sir. And again, like, as we look at week to week, so last year we were crowning the Chiefs and then they lose the way they did. We were trying to see if Dallas was going to get in that upper echelon, potentially if the Bucs were healthy or the Packers, or what was going to happen with the Rams. And then the Cardinals, a team that we felt probably that couldn't do much without D-Hop, go get a win like this. So what it continues to remind us is, this is going to be a fantastic NFL playoffs this year, right?
And when you talk about the playoffs, you talk about the NFC, you have to talk about the Green Bay Packers. They have not just the best record in the NFC, they'll be the number one seed, and it's all because of that man, Aaron Rodgers.
I just love that he and Devontae have that Wu-Tang attitude of keep feeding you and feeding you and feeding you and feeding you. Not only because he on my fantasy team, Adams, but, like, they can do that every time. And it seems like you know it's coming and you can't stop it. It becomes frustrating to me for the opponent. But as I watch those Vikings, who did they lose to this year?
Who did Vikings Lions. Lose to this?
Okay. So, for that alone, when I look at the talent that they have, shout out to Mike Zimmer. I ain't never rooting for nobody to lose his job. I think it might be time for another voice in Minnesota. I'm just saying.
Well, we always talk about the changes potentially happening in Green Bay. I'm going to say what I've been saying since halfway through the season. Aaron Rodgers stays in Green Bay after this season. They're going to have the number one seed. They're probably going to at least the NFC Championship game for the third straight time. I see him staying in Green Bay. We will see what happens then. We still have a lot more to play, a lot more to cover from Sunday's action. Your old quarterback, Matt Stafford. No one has seen more Matt Stafford tape than Jalen Rose. And he is so frustrating. So frustrating. At the end of the game, he finds Odell Beckham Jr. for some great catches, crucial plays, eventually the winning touchdown. However, Mr. Rose, he was so mad in the first half. So please help the Rams fans. What is the Matt Stafford experience and why is it always like this?
I got you, Rams fans. And shout to OBJ. Going to the Rams, reinventing himself, finding pay dirt. And to their offense, that you know how much I love Robert Woods. I just hate that they're going to be without him. And Cooper Kupp, along with Jonathan Taylor, running back for the Colts, deserve MVP consideration. But let's just talk about Matthew Stafford. The interceptions. In particular, the pick sixes. I saw a stat that I believe he has like the third or fourth most pick sixes in the history of the NFL. In the history of the NFL. And so, for Rams fans, what you have to make sure that you guard against is when this big playoff run starts to happen, that he's not throwing it to the other jersey. Like, he's been doing that this year. And it's a great win against a depleted Ravens team. A depleted Ravens team. But that's the thing that may become a word, the pick six.
Jalen, the Bills didn't look great for a couple weeks, but the Bills are back. Sure, it was just against the Falcons, but the Bills Mafia are circling the wagons. And you know how we always talked about how we were going to go to a home game in Orchard Park, New York. The Bills are going to host in the playoffs. That was in jeopardy, dog. That was in jeopardy that they got right. Josh Allen had two touchdowns. I might have gambled on that. I might have gone through Jersey and placed a legal wager that Josh Allen would have two touchdowns. And that hit, and the Bills hit, and they look like they're, once again, one of the teams to be reckoned with when it comes to the AFC with the Bengals and the Chiefs and others.
And the thing that I love about this year's playoffs is a lot of the teams play outdoors. The Patriots, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills, the Packers. I love that so much because those elements dictate that we really don't know what's going to happen. And the thing that happened for Buffalo that hasn't been happening the ability to run the ball. Singletary, 110 yards, two TDs. Yep. They've been backed by committee. They've been using two backs. They've been using three backs. They've had some injuries. They just started to give them the ball. And so let's see if that balance is something that they can rely on as the playoffs come.
Jalen, I mentioned earlier that I think that Aaron Rodgers stays with the Packers. I wouldn't be the first to say that I don't think Russell Wilson's going to stay with the Seahawks. The Seahawks have had a terrible year, but all it takes is the Lions. All you got to do is play the Lions, and all of a sudden you're putting up 51 points, and DK Metcalf looks like the best receiver in the league. Jalen, what do you think of this one? 51 to the Seahawks.
I think the fans of Seattle were saying bye-bye to Russell Wilson. It almost looked like that with his hug with Pete Carroll at the end of the game. I like both men. I just think that their relationship in that situation has expired. With that being said, the Patriots score 50, but the Seahawks score 51. Jacoby, is Metcalf like Jerry Rice all of a sudden? Because he looked like that yesterday.
It seems like they had so much trouble getting Metcalf involved all season long until you play against the Lions. And
what about Penny running the ball? Penny was running the ball like crazy. Carson has been out, and their run game has suffered because of it. He rushes for 170. Metcalf puts up three TDs. But I do feel like it's a farewell to what we're going to see with Russell as it relates to him being a member of that Seattle Seahawks team.
Well, it is not farewell for Jalen and Jacoby. We still have so much more to get from an action-packed weekend in sports. Stay tuned. Wednesday night doubleheader on ESPN starting at 7:30 with the Warriors taking on the Mavs. And then in the nightcap, it is the Denver Nuggets and the Utah Jazz. Doubleheader Wednesday night on ESPN starting at 7 p.m. with NBA Countdown. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen Rose, we've been paying so much attention to football, but don't look now. The Lakers have been on a little bit of a run, and LeBron James has been on an absolute tear lately. They traded Rajon Rondo to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Do you expect them to make more moves?
I do if they can. The problem is the major moves that they would need to make to change their overall dynamic from being a playoff team to a contending team, I don't think that move is available. So it is great to see LeBron being as dominant as he's been at this point of his career, but ultimately they're going to need a healthy Anthony Davis to be as productive as he can be like he was in the bubble if they're going to even attempt to get to the Western Conference Finals.
Jalen, tonight on Monday Night Football, Ben Roethlisberger likely takes the field at Heinz Field for the last time. What do you think about
he's
his run?
Hall of Famer.
Say goodbye.
Champion. Shout to Big Ben representing the Midwest like I do every day on the show. See y'all tomorrow.
We always say we get the view what they want. Part of that is podcast exclusive content for our podcast listeners. Now, Mr. Rose, appreciate you, how much time you put into the show. You got on the phone with the producers yesterday, and we were talking about the show. I wasn't in the phone call, and I saw the rundown this morning. I said, oh, that's interesting. Michigan's not in the show. And producer said, well, Jalen just thought it was old. You know what I mean? He just thought it was old, and there's so much happened between Friday and Monday that, you know, it's been covered, and I don't know if we should put that in the show. So we're definitely putting in the pod. Now, Jalen, I might have financially wagered on the Michigan Wolverines. You might have as well. It was pretty evident early that maybe that might not have been the best decision. But now, as we have had some time, as you mentioned, to look holistically back at the season, not just emotionally reflect on this one loss, but holistically, how do you feel about this Michigan Wolverine season, and how do you feel watching the game on Friday?
Well, I knew it was going to be extremely tough to beat Georgia because they've been knocking on the door a lot more than us recently. And when you get the chance to face Alabama toe-to-toe year in and year out, and you've come up short as they have here recently, in particular under Kirby, I felt like they were in pole position a lot better suited to not only potentially win the game, but to win it all this year. The way they lost to Alabama was another letdown for them. It propelled Alabama clearly. And I want to make sure I get them all of the credit. They waxed us.
We got waxed.
I want to make
not
sure.
Even
I
close to close.
We
not
got close waxed. To close. But I am proud of our squad. We did beat Ohio State. We did win the Big Ten. Jim Harbaugh did get some respect put back on his name and on the program. And now let's see if Georgia, and shout out to my daughter Mariah, who's a senior at Georgia. And I'm gonna wear some dogs gear on the show because I lost the bet, clearly. But I wanna see if they can now go on and win it all.
Well, it was a great win for Georgia. Both those games were not exactly competitive. You know, Cincinnati, Alabama wasn't exactly a nail biter either. So that entire day of college football wasn't the most entertaining for an objective observer like myself. But you know what? It's not championship or bust for me. And I look at this season, if I was a Wolverine, and I'd say this is an excellent season. Win the Big Ten. Beat Ohio State for the first time in a decade, and then have a game that matters in terms of championship contention on the 31st of December is a big leap for the Michigan program. And I'm going to say something that you won't say. They need a marquee quarterback. You know what I mean? Like that's what they really need. You know, I love Hutchinson. I love Haskins. I love a lot of the pieces that they have. But it's like, it seems like I can't name like a real true like NFL fifth round draft pick type of quarterback that they've had. It seems like they have a new quarterback every single year. I never heard of some freshman that they've got who's going to sit 1 year and then play. Like, I just feel like that position is something that they need to shore up. And something tells me Harbaugh can do so.
Well, also, especially when you're platooning quarterbacks in a game where you're going against a walk-on for Georgia. That's what highlights it even more.
That was desperation. That was a little desperation. It was like, sure, let's see if this works. It's like, all right, Jim Harbaugh. That's the white flag when he comes in.
Yes.
But couple more games we haven't discussed from this NFL weekend. The Titans look pretty good. You know, like when I watch the Titans, I'm thinking, all right, Derrick Henry goes down. But can you see a world in which Derrick Henry's available in the first week or the second week of the playoffs? Titans are back at full strength. Can you see a world in which they compete with the Bills and the Chiefs and the Bengals at the top of the AFC?
I know one thing. Vrabel's done a great job with that team.
Yep.
Since he got the job. Like any other gig, there's going to be some turbulence that he's overcome, but the Julio Jones signing didn't really work out. He's out and he's injured. Derrick Henry's dealing with some injuries. They had a historically bad defense. In not too distant past, a couple of seasons ago, that they've been able to overcome in a lot of ways. But how about the development of Ryan Tannehill? And he just kind of slow, kind of steady. A.J. Brown out there, him and Metcalf are just physically imposing, also fast. So when I saw Metcalf catching this three, and then I see A.J. Brown playing for the Titans, you know, those guys are just like physical freaks. And so without Derrick Henry, they've still been able to run the ball. And so to your point, they get him back. I mean, you got to look at them eye to eye with teams like Buffalo at that point and the Chargers, if they're in contention for the playoffs. I don't see them on like the healthy Chiefs playing their best football level. But other than that,
no.
I mean, it's wide open in the AFC. It's wide open, period, in the NFL and the NBA. That's why it's so much intrigue.
Well, let's talk about the NBA, especially the Eastern Conference. DeMar DeRozan, back-to-back buzzer beaters. Just impressive performance. It catapulted the Bulls above the Nets in the Eastern Conference. The big news with the Nets is Kyrie Irving returns on Wednesday. But previously, the big news was the Nets that Durant was mad. They lost to the Clippers. The Clippers were depleted. Eric Bledsoe was like, I'm going off tonight. And they lost to when I say depleted, like it's not just, oh, Paul George and Kyrie aren't there. Like they were missing like seven or eight players and ended up beating the Nets. Durant was upset after that, talking about the effort on the team. What do you think about the locker room dynamic when Kevin Durant says something like that to the team and the media?
I think the locker room dynamic is just fine because Kyrie is coming back and KD's saying that because he knows it.
Okay.
It's the equivalent of what I tell you about somebody having a team meeting. They look at the schedule first. Before you fire the coach, you look at the schedule. Before you have a team meeting, you look at the schedule. And you want those meetings to now become winnable games with all things equal. And so that's his chance to let them know, all right, now, everybody came to LA, we got it in, we got thumped, but Kyrie coming back on Wednesday, and James back balling like he's supposed to, it's go time. That's what that was.
So there's been so much that's gone on over this weekend and this break that certain news stories kind of get buried. And one I found pretty interesting was the back and forth between Jake Paul and Dana White. Now, Jake Paul has inserted himself into the sports news cycle. Whether he's done it himself, not necessarily with his work inside the ring, but with his personality and the things he says and knowing what goes viral on social media. And he did it. He got me talking about him again because he said that he would leave boxing. He would fight Masvidal in the UFC. And then he had a list of demands, not for his contract in a UFC fight for Masvidal, but for the way the UFC treats their fighters. He was trying to upgrade the minimum that they get per fight, upgrade the health situation for after the day or they're done with the UFC, and basically kind of use this platform to come at Dana White from a business standpoint. Dana White being Dana White, responded with a video on Instagram or social media, and he basically accused Jake Paul of using performance-enhancing drugs, we'll say. Now, rarely do I side with Jake Paul, but I did like that he didn't just stand for himself in this potential contract, but he stood for all UFC fighters and their perceived mistreatment. What do you think of the back and forth on social media?
That's a classic example of understanding how to twist the public.
Mm.
He doesn't care about the well-being of MMA fighters. You know how I know? He's standing them up in the square circle for the first time and beating them and making money off of them. So he's not the ambassador of goodwill as it relates to what's gonna happen with the contracts of fighters in that league. Because that's literally his profit margin. Those are the names and the people he's profiting off of. And so he's taking advantage of that. That's literally, that's exactly what he's doing. If they did have the insurance and they were getting paid proper money, then they wouldn't need to fight him.
Good point.
He's literally, that's literally the loophole that he's eating off of. He ain't fighting boxers. He's fighting MMA fighters because he knows that they have names and reputations of being great fighters, but they've never been in a boxing ring professionally. And so he knocks a couple of those people out and he makes $100 million off of us. And I'm sitting back looking at him like I was watching the Kardashians get paid off the public. I'm like, seriously? Like, y'all letting this happen? And I'm just watching it happen. I ain't mad at them. I mean, I ain't mad at nobody taking advantage of, you know, what they got to get what they want. But he don't care about the well-being of those fighters. He just trolling Dana White to continue to troll a name. So now it brings more followers, more conversation towards him. Now we're talking about him on the show fighting Masvidal, who ain't never boxed.
And again, Paul said he would go to UFC to fight Masvidal, but those aren't problems that he wants. It's the same thing. I don't ever see him getting into the octagon because he's never boxed a boxer. Why would he ever want to have an MMA fight against an MMA fighter? You know, I don't see that ever happening. And he's got us talking about it, so we will move on. Sad news, Jalen Rose. We lost a legend over the break. Betty White, 99 years old, was going to turn 100 in mid-January. Passed away. When I say Betty White, what thoughts come to mind for you?
Golden Girls, to tell the truth. I got a chance to work with her multiple times. And fairly recent, like the To Tell the Truth launching, those happened in 2015, 2016. with Anthony mm-hmm. Anderson, myself, and Betty White. And at that time is when Get Up was being launched in New York. And so that was really a choice that I needed to make at that time, to stay in LA and be more full-time on To Tell the Truth, or to go to the East Coast, where at the time I could do J&J Countdown and Get Up from the East Coast. And so in working with her, I was extremely impressed. And you know that game is about recall. And it's about your motor skills. And it's about trying to, like, figure out clues. And so it was always impressive to me how sharp she was. And how she remembered people's names and stuff like that. Kind of like you with that. And so she's a legend that definitely lived a full life and touched so many people, including myself. So definitely rest in peace.
Well, rest in peace to Betty White. And before we go, everyone subscribe to youtube.com/JalenTV. Jalen put out a dope video over the break, which I saw. So relaunching the YouTube channel, the Jalen TV. You can subscribe to Jalen on the Renaissance Man podcast. And of course, tell your friends to tell a friend to follow the Jalen and Jacoby podcast. We will be back tomorrow with another dope pod to step to. Why is that, Jalen? Anthony Rose.
And also rest in peace to another legend, John Madden, who's an institution in my house and so many, not only watching. Oh, yeah, and Goldie from the Mac, Max Julian. No doubt. Rest in peace, Max Julian. No question. We lost three legends. We're not done. We're not done. We are not done.